Well, welcome back, everybody, to episode number 200.
So we did it, Paul. We made it to 200.
200 weeks straight without missing a week. Unbelievable.
I don't think I've done anything for 200 weeks straight. I don't know. Anything you've probably in value.
You've probably like, well, yeah, you have. I mean, you have.
I suppose, but that's probably one of the most consistent things I've done in my life. Is 200 straight weeks of doing this. So it's been fun. I've had a great time.
Oh, we have a great time. I think people could probably tell we have a ball doing this.
Yeah.
And
we have a lot of fun before we hit record too. We should record the outtakes and just publish those.
Some of those could never be published.
We'll just blame it on AI. That's not really us. That was AI that said that. That's a deep fake. Yeah,
Paul would never have hair like that.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, hey, everybody, we just, in this episode, talked about, seven habits it takes to become financially successful, relating it to the classical Stephen Covey book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. So hopefully you guys get some good stuff from this. We have fun talking about it.
This was a good one, I think.
Yeah.
Some stuff to think about for sure.
Yeah. All right, everybody, enjoy. Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast.
All right, we're back, man. Paul. Dude, I just got to say, man, that hair is looking dapper. You are a dapper Dan man.
It does look wet. So the hair product I've got in is something that I bought with my $50 AMX credit from Saks Fifth Avenue. I don't know what it's called, but it was like $50 for this little thing of pomade or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it is, but
I like those credits. I just spend it on stuff I would never buy anyway.
Yeah. I usually get socks, underwear, or something like that. It's just everything there is just ridiculously. I don't shop there otherwise. I just pay you the $100 a year and that's it.
You know, you got the Lululemon credit now too.
Yeah, I used it too. I bought a polo shirt thanks to your wife who told me which one. So I asked Dave which shirt works for him, you know, and he was like, well, I try on the ones and I buy the ones I like. And I was like, that's not what I asked. I asked like, which shirt were you wearing the other day? Like, what's the name of it?
Yeah.
And handed it.
Yeah, she knows better than me.
Yeah, she was smelling what I was stepping in.
Yeah.
Anyway. So,
yeah,
thank you.
Well, nice, man. Well, all right. Ooh, well, let's, hey, you know what this episode is?
Episode 200.
Episode 200, 200. Did you think 200 weeks ago, we would have done 200 weekly episodes?
Yeah. Without consecutive week,
never missing one. I think, you know, a time or two, they went up late. But we never.
Yes. Missed. Yep. So a shout out to people who actually texted us and said, hey, where's your episode? It's not up.
No,
sometimes it was on YouTube, but it wasn't on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or something. So that was really helpful. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was great. But yeah. So consistency, man. I'd say that to me, I was just answering questions from a brand new agent recently who was just trying to get my advice. And I said, man, the only secret sauce I know of is consistency. Like, just be consistent, whatever you do.
That or go sell pharmaceuticals. It's far easier.
Far easier. And not as many people hate you.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not now.
Yeah, maybe not now. Yeah. But yeah, so man, that's a long time. So that's like 100 hours worth of content, 100 hours worth of me and you just talking back and forth, right? Because they're all roughly 30 minutes ish.
Yeah, there's some that are an hour. So it's over 100 hours of content, commercial free and ad free, whatever. So
yeah,
and we enjoy doing it and it's going to keep going. And there's going to be some changes in 26, which I'm not going to get into today, but looking forward to the upcoming pivot for the Wealth Warehouse podcast.
Yeah, we're going to double down. We're going to, it's just going to be bigger and better, I think. So probably more guests, more interesting, expand on the topic. a bit, but it's going to be good.
Yep. Yeah. I'm going to get rid of my plastic table. So that would if you're watching nice on YouTube, cheap. It's one of the last times you'll ever see it.
You look poor, Paul.
Well, the wall looks nice.
The wall is nice. Yeah, it is. Well, all right, man, let's get started. So we were talking, and for some reason, Stephen Covey's book came up, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Like, great book. Everybody should read that. Every teenager should read that. You know, sure. If you can actually get your teenager to read a book. But that, you know, we thought, well, shoot, there's a lot of parallels there between being a highly effective person and being a financially successful person. There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. So let's go through that. So I bet a lot of our readers have read that book, and maybe it's been a long time because it's such a classic. You probably read it years and years ago, and it's worth rereading. But, you know, the first habit is be proactive. So what does that mean to you in the financial sense of the word?
Well, I always tell my kids, I go, you know, becoming wealthy or being wealthy and being a successful guy like Bezos or Buffett or whoever, right? It just doesn't like fall out of a tree and hit you in the face.
Right.
Just like good grades, right? Some people, yeah, super bright, whatever, and they can just look at something once and they get it, you know, do an algebra problem one time and they know how to do it, whatever. But most people aren't like that. Most people need to work at something and be consistent at it, whether it was, you know, Larry Bird shooting 1,000 shots a day or 500 shots a day, you know, to become one of the best shooters in the NBA, or, you know, pick some, you know, someone that is dedicated to something and is the best in their trade. Well, they likely put in a tremendous amount of work and dedication to become, to get to that level. And it's the same thing with finance, right? Starting early, learning, studying, reading books about various financial subjects, knowing where our money comes from, right? What is the Federal Reserve note and the history behind that worthless piece of paper?
Yeah. But you know what's crazy is emergencies always catch people off guard. But the one thing about emergencies in your life is they're 100% guaranteed to happen.
Guaranteed.
You're going to have an emergency. So why are you caught off guard? It's because you weren't proactive. So in with the infinite banking concept, you're doing that by default as being proactive. I'm capitalizing my system so that when that emergency does happen or that opportunity does appear, I prepared for it. I was proactive, not reactive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it reminds me of we learned how to fly helicopters on single engine, you know, helicopters from the 1960s. And the first thing I can remember one of the IPs telling me was, hey, this is a single engine aircraft. It's a helicopter. You're at 1,000 feet AGL most of the time or lower. You should always be thinking, if my engine quits, where am I landing?
Where am I landing? Absolutely. Yeah. When I go fly, I mean, I fly that SR-20, it's got a parachute.
Good parachute.
But I'm still looking, hey, if the engine were to fail right now, where would I land? You always want to have that in mind. Yeah, because that's stuff, when you're flying, it's not guaranteed to happen. In life, it's guaranteed to happen. Right. Something out of your control is going to happen. And if you just say, well, I couldn't control that. The economy tanked and I lost my job. How am I supposed to prepare for that? Well, you're blaming the economy now for not being able to feed your family. You should have been proactive and started capitalizing yourself so that you could survive something like that. Like all those people during the government shutdown who couldn't go a week without a paycheck.
I have a lot to say about that, that I won't say on this podcast, but I worked with a lot of those types of people and I saw, you know, and I know what they make. You can look up their salaries, what a GS-14 or a GS-13 mm-hmm. Employee makes in the DC area. I'm not saying they're necessarily earning it. Some of them are. A lot of them aren't.
Yeah.
But they're making nearly double the average salary in America.
Yeah. And they couldn't go, 2 weeks without a paycheck?
Yeah.
Without having to use a credit card.
Very troubling.
Yeah. Very troubling. So it's not just low income. It's all income levels that are like that, which is hard to believe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, the second habit of highly effective people, or in our case, financially successful people, begin with the end in mind.
Yeah. We say this all the time in our business, right? That's part of one of the, I feel like, kind of bedrock principles of owning life insurance is you're thinking of some sort of end, whether the end might be tomorrow or it's when you're 95 years old, surrounded by your family at the nursing home or something.
Yeah.
Right. You're thinking, well, this life is going to end.
Yeah.
What does it look like when I walk out the door?
And this is the ultimate concept and product for that has the end in mind. I mean, you're guaranteed to die. The end, that is the end for you, right? So if you start all the way there, the day I die, what happens? Well, start with the end in mind now. You know, create that legacy today so that your family has a legacy that you've left them.
Yeah, and you know, this applies to many facets of life. When you go on a road trip, you're thinking about the destination.
Right. Or else, you know, hey, if there's no destination, any road will get you there.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So think with that destination in mind, that end, you know, what does it look like when you get there? Oh, you got to unpack, first thing, unpack the car, bring the bags up to the room, check in, whatever, take the dog out to go to the bathroom. But you're thinking about all these things. What I got to do when I get there?
Yeah.
Same thing when you go on your way to work. The work is the destination. You have to think about, all right, what am I have to do? I have to turn my computer on. I have to log in. I have to do all these things. It's the same thing with your financial life. We should be thinking first thing, first principles, thinking with the end in mind.
Right. And of course, you know, death isn't the only end. There's also the end of your active income years, and you start your passive income years, or some people call it retirement. You know, is all of your money going to be locked up in a tax deferred account? Is it all going to be taxable income? Do you have a volatility buffer? Can you access capital when you need it without having to go to your 401k and selling shares while they're low and, you know, doing the opposite of what you should be doing? So, you know, there's several ends throughout our life. You know, what about when my kids move out of the house?
Windfall.
I better have a place to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to be this successful real estate investor, you know, buying multifamily and buying Airbnbs and single families and wholesaling and fix and flip, all that money you're going to make, yeah, some of it will be taxed. A lot of it won't be, maybe if you're doing the right strategies. But you need a place to put that money.
Yep.
What better place than here?
Yeah, I work with a lot of pilots who say, well, hey, I've got a bonus or a profit sharing bonus coming, you know, in February. Or we got a new contract coming up in the next year. I need somewhere. And these are my favorite clients because they come back and they say, here's what's going on about a year from now. I need to prepare for that. I got a big windfall coming my way. So how do we ensure that I can capture that money and my pay raise somewhere so it doesn't just turn into, you know, I just blow it on going out to dinner three more times a month or something like that.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I got a buddy in that same spot. He's coming to a bonus this month. It's like a profit sharing opportunity, and we're going to convert all of the convertible term that he's got.
Convertible term. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So no longer insurable. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe at a certain company you can get underwritten, you know, but
yeah. Yeah.
But not at this company. But he's got convertible term with that company and was proactive several years ago opening it. So now we're going to take that windfall and put it to work and establish a new policy that's going to be served, is going to serve him very well throughout the years.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. All right, man. Well, step three, put first things first. So and we hear this, you hear it really from every financial advisor out there, which we aren't, you know, financial planners or anything like that. But even from that crowd, you hear, hey, pay yourself first. But
yeah,
you know, what does that mean? You know, what does that look like? So how do we do it?
Well, you know, for a typical person, it just depends. But, you know, just a average person, I'd say, you know, You know, are you saving 10% of your income? Well, yes, I am. All right, great. Where are you saving it? All right, let's take that. Continue to do that. That behavior is great. Mm-hmm. First of all, the behavior of paying yourself first. It's funny. We stumble upon it with pretty much every client we have. We're just going to change the location of where you're paying yourself first, where you're capitalizing. So that your money, you still have access to it. You get death benefit protection. You have some convertible term probably so you can expand your life insurance system when you make more money eventually, right? And you still have access to it all at the same time without interruption, though. That's the key thing, I think, Dave, that a lot of people just kind of glaze over is that throughout most people's lives, they save for vacation and then they pay for vacation with cash out of their savings account, permanently disrupting the growth of that money. And they do that forever, buying cars, their cash payers, vacations, tuition, including 529 college savings plan people. That money's going to do one thing. It's going to go from the 529 to your checking account to the college or wherever it's going to go. One single use. Whereas if you do it this way, if you encapsulate it in a system of whole life policies designed for IBC, you're going to have that money working for you forever without interruption. And that makes you wealthier.
Yep, absolutely. And if you're paying that premium first, a lot of people say, well, they kind of think they're paying themselves first by, say, paying extra on their mortgage. Because, hey, I'm earning equity. I'm paying all the principal. I'm paying myself first.
Paying the bank first.
You're paying the bank first. You don't have that money in your hand anymore.
No.
You can't do anything with it. If you want it, you got to go ask permission. So, put first things first, pay yourself first. And this is the perfect, infinite banking concept. You know, the properly structured whole life insurance is the best place to put that money first.
Yeah, prioritize your own capital over somebody else's.
Right. And most people don't. They don't put a value on their, like the economic value add that Nelson writes about in the book.
Yeah.
They don't prioritize. They don't put a value on the cash that they've saved. Like,
no.
That has a value above and beyond what that number is, because what could that be earning for you? That's really the value of it.
Yeah, but what's the cost of capital? I can't come up with that quote off the top of my head, but most people think they think or whatever, but they're not thinking about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
In the daily grind, they're just not. Most people are just set it and forget it. Hey, I'm putting my money in 401k. I'm putting a little bit over here in savings, college 529 savings plan, whatever. And that's all, on their spreadsheet. I just marked that red money. That's money that you don't have control over or access to. You can't touch.
Yeah.
And the banks don't care about it.
Right. Yep. Yep. Exactly. All right, man. Number four, think win-win. So we live in a financial world that is really a zero sum, meaning that both people can't win. For somebody to win, somebody else has to lose, and vice versa. So a lot of people think, well, I could fund life insurance. I could do the infinite banking concept, fund this dividend paying whole life insurance, or I could invest in the stock market, or I could put that money into a rental house. That's thinking win-lose. That's either or.
Right.
Win-win would
both
be
and.
Both and. Exactly. Yeah. You can do both of these things. It just matters where you sequence that money first, right?
Yeah. Well, we touched upon it not during the webinar. Maybe it was in the webinar or maybe the episode prior to that, where when there's an opportunity on your horizon and you've allocated capital towards it, it's sitting in your high yield savings account somewhere, don't think that it shouldn't touch. It very well could and should touch a whole life insurance policy before it goes and funds the opportunity that you're doing. Right.
Right.
I keep thinking back to this client who, very early, you're going to grow into this IBC process, this IBC life. But people always think, well, I can't do that right now because I need that money to go do this thing. I'm like, well, let's talk about it. Let's unpack. Well, how much liquidity do you need to go do that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Whether it's a house reno or whatever. There's a way to do it. There's a way to keep this policy very liquid early on so that you could still have the access to the capital that you need to go do that particular venture. So that's how my mind always is. And of course, we're at the graduate level or PhD level of IBC now. where, because we've been living it, we teach it to people and we practice it at a high level. But it's always, I'm always thinking, how can I sequence more capital through the policies that I have? You know, maybe there's some additional PUA, or I've got a loan repayment, or is it new premium? Do I need a new policy now? Right. Always thinking like that.
Yeah. Always. Good. I wouldn't disagree with any of that. So the next one, seek first to understand, then be understood. So this one reminds me a lot of Robert Kiyosaki, you know, when he talks about investing, like investing isn't risky. Not knowing what you're doing, that's what's risky. Right. So, and life insurance is not investing, but I thought that was a good, you know, a good analogy to how to understand that. But seek first to understand. What's the first step in our process?
You got to read a book.
Read a book. Yeah, read that book.
Yep.
Like, understand what you're getting into. Understand what this process is and why you would want to control the banking function in your own life. You know, and then move forward. But you can't do anything before you understand it.
Right. No. And you shouldn't. And I would tell people that in the first phone call. It's like, listen, we're not going to do anything until you understand what's going on. And I also tell them, you are going to grow into this. You're not going to understand every little facet probably right. Like, you're going to start, you know, interact with your policy. You're going to, you know, feel it and touch it. And yeah, you know, you're going on the weekly web or the monthly webinar, and you're talking to other people practicing IBC, you know, your brother-in-law, your sister, whoever. And eventually things are just going to start to click, and you're going to have these baseball bat across the face moments like Nelson Nash did. And you're going to think, gosh, where were you 4 years ago? Where were you 15 years ago? Because I did this thing and I could have done this. And your eyes will be open. And yeah, it can't be unseen at that point. You're just going to, you're going to start expanding.
Yeah. Yeah. And too many people maybe put their money into something because somebody else told them it was a good idea.
Yeah. We don't do that. That's for sure.
Yeah. I would certainly ask that person, if you're going to, you know, if they say this is a good idea, find out why they think that. Do they understand it? And if so, you know, learn what you can from them and then investigate it yourself until you're at that point where you feel comfortable putting your money there. But same thing with this process, with whole life insurance. You got to understand it. And frankly, like we were just talking to somebody on a phone call, right? And he's like, yeah, I work with a lot of financial advisors, and they all say that they can do infinite banking. We're like, yeah, of course, everybody's going to say that, but do they understand it?
I've heard it many times. Well, my financial advisor knows about that.
Mm-hmm.
Does he?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. He's not doing it.
I was just reviewing like five policies from somebody who contacted me. I said, yeah, feel free, send me your policies. I'll take a look at them, let you know what I think. And, you know, they were built kind of like IBC style with a mix of base and PUA. But every one of them was set up to mech in another 10 years or so. Like, hey, these policies are going to mech unless you start reducing your premium.
Right.
So, you know, did that advisor really understand what he was doing? I would question it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he could always pay just the base.
Yes. And that's why I said, hey, these look great because you've had them for a long time. So they're phenomenal policies at this point, but you got to make sure you don't mech them.
Right.
So if you don't know what that means, read the book, read Becoming Your Own Banker. You'll find out.
And if they did mech, it's really not the end of the world either. You know, it's like it's dirty, you know, it's a dirty term in the infinite banking world. We want to avoid it if we can. And it's perfectly, you know, very avoidable, but it's not the end of the world. If you had a policy that happened to be a mech because you didn't know anything, that's,
yeah, you're just, you know, if you can avoid it, avoid it.
Avoid it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why everything we design avoids it.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Next, synergize. So synergy. It's like synergy. One of those corporate buzzwords.
We must have synergy. There's a great video out there called, it's Steve Jobs. It's not Steve Jobs, it's like an SNL type skit, but it's the, you know, they're talking about the iPod and the iPhone and the i this and the i that. And this is an older video. So And then the next thing they came out with was the iRack, and it was making, you know, pointing fun at Bush and the Iraq war, right? Yeah. But it was like just a white, like, shelving unit that was really unstable. And it's so funny. It starts to like smoke and stuff, but it just, it reminded me of that. The, he's like, no, this is the beginnings of synergy. Maybe we'll link that video in the show.
Yeah, send that to me at least.
Cause it's funny.
Yeah. But you know, synergy, you know, the way the book describes it in Stephen Covey's book is the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
So kind of zooming back, and which is what we say, like, you know, infinite bank, like a dividend paying whole life insurance policy is not going to make you wealthy in and of itself. Right. By utilizing the loan feature and using the life insurance company's money, you're not going to make money by buying a BMW. You know, to the dismay of all the financial gurus on TikTok, you cannot make money by buying cars just simply by taking a loan against your cash value instead of paying cash. But right. When you zoom out, you'll see that by doing it this way, you're going to be better off. You're holistic. The total sum of your financial portfolio and your financial picture in your life is going to be better because of this product and understanding the process.
Yeah, very simply, and of course, Nelson demonstrates that in the book about how to buy cars, but implementing IBC into your life will simply enhance everything else you're already doing.
Yep.
It's a complement. And you can practice IBC with a savings account. You can practice IBC with a CD, or, you know, maybe if you had like a bond fund brokerage type thing going on, you could maybe in theory do it with that. But the most effective way to implement IBC is with a participating dividend paying whole life insurance policy. And I'm sorry that that's the way it is, but that's the way it is.
Right. I mean, there's plenty of people now who, you know, you could practice infinite banking with Bitcoin because you don't have to sell it. You can get a loan against it, or you do a margin loan, but there's some inherent risk involved.
Right. The thing, since you just said that Bitcoin's value has fluctuated 4,000 times.
Yeah. I keep a decent eye on it. It is strange how it fluctuates so often, but you can do banking with a lot of things. I think the best foundational product to use when you're banking is properly structured whole life insurance, plain and simple.
Yeah. It never decreases in value.
Right.
Once a dividend is declared, it cannot be taken away. Once cash value increases, it will never decrease in value. It goes up in value every day, every year.
Yep.
Not, you know, other assets that you're, you know, margin loans and stuff like that, those aren't guaranteed.
Right. And this is, which is why it's the first place we want to put our capital and everything else. If I want to go invest and purchase cryptocurrencies or whatever it may be, I'll do that from a policy loan because I know my policy loan, the cash value is going to continue to rise.
Yeah. Or if you have to furnish a house, for example,
yeah,
you can use a policy loan
and replace a plastic folding table as your office backdrop.
Yeah, it's one of our oldest pieces of furniture. It's from Costco, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's seen a lot.
Seen a lot.
It's seen a lot. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. And then the final one is sharpen the saw. This may be one of the most important, especially for people after you have gone through the education process and implemented the IBC, the infinite banking concept into your life. You got to sharpen the saw. So what does that mean?
Well, I think what comes to mind for me is you never arrive in knowledge. Nelson says that in the book, right? The education process, whether it's IBC education, other financial education or whatever, it never stops. Mm-hmm. It's continuous. There's always something else to know, always something else to learn, always something else to consider. So I think, and the other thing that comes to mind, of course, is just, hey, and we talk about it all the time, expanding your system, page 48, expanding your system to accommodate all income. And I would say the way we actually do it is to accommodate more income. There's, you know, if you're not looking to expand your system, this really only is optimized. IBC is optimized when you do it the way Nelson intended. One of his rules, don't do business with banks outside of, you know, checking or, you know, just storing some money for your monthly bills, right? If you're like, you know, I've got, and I know they're not listening, so I'm going to say it. I know I've got clients that have six figures in a savings account somewhere. I know that. Yeah. I know they do. And it's not next year's premium. It's just in addition to the several hundred thousand dollars of cash value they have all this money over here too. And I'm just like,
yeah,
makes my head explode.
Yeah. So sharpening the saw to me is not just continuing to educate yourself through reading and podcasts, but it's finding other people in your life. I was just talking to somebody yesterday, and he's like, I don't have anybody around here where I live who who practices this, so I can't talk to anybody about it, which is why I listen to the podcast every Monday, because you know he wants to sharpen the saw, stay smart, and advance his learning. No arrival syndrome. You know, you and I, we've done 200 episodes. We haven't talked about every possible thing about infinite banking, or every advantage, or every possibility, because we're still learning that as we go.
The possibilities are infinite.
They're infinite. Right. So how could we ever cover, you know, the next 200 episodes won't cover everything. I think it's kind of like, I was just watching this video about this AI expert, and he was explaining, you know, every day the knowledge in the universe increases. So the percentage of what you know actually decreases. So you become dumber in relation to the overall knowledge every single day, if not every hour these days.
Sure.
Right.
I believe
so. That's kind of like somebody who starts a policy 5 years ago, and now they're paying the same premium they were paying 5 years ago, but they're making, say, 50% more in income, but they're saying paying the same premium they were. So their policy is still growing. So it's getting bigger, but as an overall percentage of what they bring in, it's shrinking every single year. Like that, you should be keeping up with that. That should be, if you want to call it part of your portfolio, that should maintain a level or growing portion of your portfolio. It shouldn't be shrinking down every single year.
Yeah, technically, it should get larger as you age and you start to back off maybe those more aggressive parts of your portfolio, right? And you start to consolidate into more conservative things. And of course, the most conservative thing you could do is buy whole life insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Extremely conservative, but powerful. So, well, there you go. I think that's a pretty good summary and analogy of what it takes to be a highly effective person and a financially successful person. So there's a lot of parallels you can draw there. In fact, maybe we'll just rip off his book and write our own book. And, you know, like Michael Scott, you know, I'm going to make a Mike Cereal Shack. I'm going to mix different cereals together and make it my own. We could do that. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, we'll just have a ghostwriter do it on AI. Have it done in 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Done.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. Well, it was good. Hey, 200 episodes. Everybody listening, thanks for sticking with us. I still talk to people who are like, hey, I just found your podcast like a month ago and I started at episode one and I'm working through it.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, I think I'm getting through it, but then you add a new one every single week. So it's going to take me a lot longer. So I would advise those people, hey, listen to, I mean, if they're going chronological, they're not going to listen to this episode for months from now. But right. I would say anybody listening to this one, if you want to binge, I would listen to the most recent one and then go back to the beginning and binge until the next most recent one comes out.
Yeah, I think that's how I would do it as well.
Yeah, it's not really building like, blocks.
Yeah, you know, you stay on stuff that's current, you know, because we advertise the next webinar or we talk about something interesting that happened that has to do with something. So yeah. you want to stay up to date, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for joining us on episode 200. We'll see you back here for 201 and, you know, episode 300, 400, however many we go. So we appreciate you all hanging with us on this journey. And until next time, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.